Ted feels like he just took a spear in the middle of the back himself, but he at least is still standing. And he didn't mean it, there's that. He knows in his heart that he didn't mean it. He was just surprised into anger. He picks up his wallet and sees the stickball kids staring at him, their mouths open. He points his wallet at them like some kind of gun with a floppy barrel, and the boy holding the sawed-off broom handle flinches. It's the flinch, even more than the falling body, that will haunt Ted's dreams for the next year or so, and then off and on for the rest of his life. Because he likes kids, would never scare one on purpose. And he knows what they are seeing, a man with his pants mostly pulled down so his boxer shorts show, for all he knows, his dingus could be hanging out of the fly front, and wouldn't that just be the final magical touch? A wallet in his hand, and a loony look on his bloody kisser. "You didn't see anything," he shouts at them. "You hear me now? You hear me? You didn't see anything." Then he hitches up his pants. Then he goes back to his briefcase and picks it up, but not the pork chop in the brown paper sack. Fuck the pork chop. He lost his appetite along with one of his incisors. Then he takes another look at the body on the sidewalk and the frightened kids. Then he runs. Which turns into a career. 5. The end of the second tape pulled free of the hub and made a soft whip, whip, whip sound as it turned.
"Jesus," Susanna said. "Jesus, that poor man."
"So long ago," Jake said, and shook his head as if to clear it. To him, the years between his when and Mr. Brodigan's seemed an unbridgeable chasm. Eddie picked up the third box and displayed the tape inside, raising his eyebrows at Roland. The gunslinger twirled a finger in his old gesture, the one that said, "Go on, go on."